Man, today we're going to finish up our series, Mind Shift. We've been doing this for a little while, and I think we have an awesome conclusion as we get into this message today. If you remember our verse, Romans 12:2, let's read this together one last time. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. We need to allow God to work in our lives to change the way we think completely. When we become Christians, something drastically changes. Remember, I said we have to change the way we think. The Bible says we're new creations, and too many times we receive Christ and we go through life living the same way, not realizing how much He has changed us. If you missed any of these messages, quick review of them today, but you can download them on our website. If you don't have internet access, we can actually burn you a CD right at the back after the service. You can just let Pastor Bob know, and he'll take care of that for you. How do we become a Christian? We've done this 4 weeks in a row. Someone should be able to give me the three steps. Admit what? That we're a sinner, right? Can somebody tell me what that means in your own words? A, admit. Anybody? Pizza's coming, so. What? Yeah, openly confess it, right? Be real. Don't hide stuff from God. God knows what you did. Be real with God. Good. What's the next one? Believe. Believe. Who can put that in your own words? Believe what? Yeah, that He died on a cross and rose from the dead in your place, right? For you. That's good. And C, commit. I've heard Billy say that every week is the first one. Commit. Commit our lives to following Him. Can somebody tell me that in your own words? If you talk with me, we move faster and we'll be able to eat the pizza while it's still hot. So, C, commit. It's good. It's good. Yeah, you walk a different life, right? You leave them behind. Awesome. Awesome. Good thing. Well, let's you admit you're a sinner, believe He died, and commit your life to Him. Very good. Well, let's go ahead and get into it here. In Christ, the first one is, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. You can open up your Bibles to Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3. If you want to, I can just read this one for you because we want to kind of move quickly here today. I want to spend some time in prayer. Ephesians 1:3 says this, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Paul says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ. Since we've become united with Christ, the phrase I'm pulling out is that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. You've been blessed with what? Spiritual blessings. How many? It says every spiritual blessing. Right. There's a lot of benefits of knowing God. We're going to review the list real quickly and talk about all the spiritual blessings that we've been blessed with. In Christ, I am declared righteous. Remember we said that. We're right with God. Isn't that awesome? That whatever your past was, you repent of your sins, He washes us clean, and we're right with God without sin. I am free of condemnation. Remember that? We beat ourselves up, and we shouldn't do that anymore. The devil can't beat us up. We shouldn't beat ourselves up anymore because Jesus has changed us. We are free from condemnation. I am set free from the power of sin. We are able to stop sinning now. Whereas before Christ, you couldn't stop it even if you wanted to. Now you are able. Now you are able to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. I am made holy. Holy. That when God looks at you, He doesn't see the sin in your heart. If you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, you are washed free. Washed free, pure and holy, just as if you never sinned. I have new life. New life. You get a fresh start with the Lord. It all starts over again. I am a new person. New person. God's changed you. He's washed you clean. And you get to start all over, and it's drastically different than you were before. I am complete. Remember when we did this, we said how we don't need anything. We are whole. Everything that you need for life comes through Christ. Everything that you need. If you think you don't have enough strength to get through whatever obstacle it is you're facing, I want you to know that through Christ you are complete. You have everything you need. Everything that God's called you to do, I guarantee He has equipped you to do. For some of you, you need to memorize that thought, that phrase. Everything that God's called you to do, He has equipped you to do. Everyone who God calls, He equips. You don't know how many times that I've had to lean on that knowledge myself. Knowing God's called me to do the church, and then I come up against something I've never done before. Do I know what I'm doing? No. But also know, God's called me. He must have equipped me, so we move forward in faith. And guess what? We look back and see, yeah, that was God. He did equip. Because God knows what He's doing. We are complete in Christ. I am God's masterpiece. Remember, we said, your picture is hanging on God's wall. You are the masterpiece. Not anything from Leonardo da Vinci or whatever. That's not on God's wall. You are. You're the masterpiece. That is awesome. I am near to God. You don't have to feel like you're far away from Him. He is here with you. If you know Him, you've asked Him to forgive you, you have a relationship with Him now. And some of you don't walk in that. You need to walk in that truth. And when you feel lonely, begin to call out to the Lord. And listen, even if you call out to Him and you still feel lonely, who cares what your emotions say? We know that we're near God. We know Jesus said He'll never leave me. Even if you feel alone, that could be just the devil pressuring you, making you feel alone, and you need to say something like this. Wait a second. I know through Christ I am near to God. I know Jesus said He'll never leave me, that He's right there with me. That if I feel alone, that's just my emotions reacting to the situation I'm in. I know that I'm not alone, because what's more important, or what has more credibility, our emotions or the Word of God? The Word of God, right? Your emotions change so quickly. So quickly. If you don't realize it, you could see any movie and just listen to the music in the movie. Music will tell you how to feel. Our emotions are so fickle. When something bad is going to happen, you hear doo 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 doo, whatever little spooky stuff. Ooh, gets creepy, right? Something exciting is happening. Da 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 da. Yeah, exciting music, right? Because our emotions change just simply by what's on the radio. We can't trust our emotions. We need to trust the Word of God, right? Amen? I can come boldly and confidently into God's presence. We can go into Him and ask for whatever we need. We can walk into the throne of the King because of Christ. We're adopted as God's child. Remember we said this is better than being a blood kid of the Lord. Why? Because that means God picked us out. That God didn't have to take us. And He adopted us. If you have kids, natural kids, you're stuck with them. You're just stuck with them. Let's just get real. Amen. And I don't mean that. I don't mean that to demean children. What I'm saying is sometimes in our minds, there can be this thing of being adopted isn't as good as being the natural born. That's not the biblical picture. You have kids, you're stuck with them. You love them. I love my daughter. I'm stuck with her, but I love her. I'm Huey Lewis sang the song, "I'm Happy to be Stuck with You," remember, back in the day? So, it's all good. But listen, if you're adopted, that means that the picture is God came to the orphanage of the world and said, "That's the one I want." And God wasn't stuck with you. He picked you. God looked at Kate and said, "You're the one I want." Isn't that awesome? And He looked at Sheila and John, and God said, "I want you on my team. And I want you on my team," right? Isn't that good? "And I want you, Rudy. And I want you, Bob," right? How awesome that God came to us and picked us out like we were the puppy that maybe nobody wanted in the window. Beat up, lousy, no good. God said, "You're the one I want." How cool is that? Thank the Lord, right? Who's glad to have been picked by God to be on His team? Thank the Lord. Who's worthy of that? None of us. But we thank the Lord that He adopted us. "I am one with Christ and all other believers." That's the church, man. We're one with God. One with Christ and one with each other through Christ. "I am seated in the heavenly realms." We talked about this verse of how, in my paraphrase, is there's a name tag in heaven sitting at our seat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We got a seat reserved. That is cool. We don't sit at the kids' table in heaven. The real table. Amen. "I have received the Holy Spirit." Remember we said that when you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. That's very true. We're going to talk about that today. "I am healed." There is healing through the Lord. We know that. "I am under Christ's authority." Remember we talked about this, that we don't have to fear anything because Jesus is in control. If He is sovereign and in control, we can go anywhere knowing that we're in His protection, right? We're under His authority. That is a good thing. That means nothing can touch us unless He allows it. And whatever we face, if it seems like it's too much, we know that we must be able to get through it somehow because the Lord led it in our lives. That He's watching you and He's at work within you and He wants to strengthen you and help you to get through whatever it is that you need to get through. That was good, right? We only have two more today. That was the review. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. All of them. These and more. The next one we're going to look at is, "I have a mission." I have a mission. Listen, when we become in Christ, God saves us and changes us for a reason. Look at Matthew 28:19. Actually, start at verse 18, 28:18 through 20. This is called the Great Commission. The Lord has given us this mission to live for Him. Does anybody have a page number? 760 if you have one of our Bibles. Matthew 28:18 through 20. It says, "Jesus came and told His disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make," what? "Disciples of" who? "All nations, baptizing them in the name of" what? "The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I am with you always. The Lord goes with you, right? Teach them to obey all the commands. That's what we're doing now, aren't we? We get into the Word. That's why we preach the Word. That's why we have Bible study on Thursday nights to help disciple. You are a disciple of Jesus, and we need to disciple you and to teach you as we all grow and work closer to become the people who God wants us to be. We baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We just did that a few weeks ago. Go and make disciples of all nations, okay? I have a mission. God has given you a mission. Did you know that you received this mission as soon as you asked Jesus to forgive you? Did you know that? Because if God didn't have anything for you to do, He just would have killed you right then. "Lord, forgive me, take me to heaven." Boom, okay. And He would have killed you. He didn't kill you because He wants you to bring somebody else to heaven with you. He wants you to share the word. This is based upon the authority of God. We are to go. Go and do what? Go and make disciples. If Jesus really did all this stuff for you we're talking about, we need to go share it with somebody, don't we? We need to tell somebody else. Where? Where do we go and take this message? To all the nations, right? All over the world. How do we do that? How do we do that? Listen, we have to reach every people in the world. How do we do that? Missionaries. Very good. This works very well with Mission Sunday, don't it? Listen, we need to share Jesus with the world. We can help pastors all around the country by giving missionaries, by giving to BGMC that the young people are working on with the children's group. That helps provide Sunday school curriculum for the children around the world. The money literally goes there. When they give stuff in their little buddy barrels, they're going to start doing again. Every quarter goes to buy Sunday school curriculum in places like China, you know, other churches in the United States, Vietnam, you know, all around the world. Places that we can't go to or maybe you don't even want to go to, the money goes to help those people. We need to reach the world. We also need to reach our nation, don't we? Let's back this up one step. The United States of America. Our country needs Jesus. Are you heartbroken for the stuff you see in our country? I'll be honest with you. I just get heartbroken. I just feel sometimes that it's just, I don't know where the hope is. I know it's in the Lord, but people reject Him. Nonetheless, we need to pray for a nation. We need to pray for a president. Whether or not you like the politics, we need to pray for him. That the Lord will touch him. He is in office for a reason. God allowed him to be in office. Because if it was against his plan, God would have just killed him as well and he wouldn't have been in office. God has him there. We need to pray for him. That the Lord would bless him. That the Lord would steer him, right? Amen? It isn't a political statement, it's a fact. We need to pray that the Lord would steer him towards the things of God. We should always pray that, no matter who's in office. We need to pray that our nation would be broken for God. That people would stop calling sin choice. Sin is sin. It's not an alternative lifestyle. Sin is sin. And we need to pray that our nation sees that again. We need to pray for our state, right? Governors and politicians and those who lead in politics. We need to pray for your own hometown. You can't always get involved on the other levels, but in your own hometown you can. You can pray for your hometown. You can serve. We also need to back it up because I know we live at different hometowns. We also need to help reach out to the place that God's planted our church. Whether or not you live here, God's called you here and you need to help reach out here as well as your own hometown. You need to get involved. You need to serve as we do so many times. On that notice, in regards to our church, we have like 4,000 of these flyers. And you can hand these out and you can stick them on windshields as you go into ShopRite or whatever. It's like a post-it note, really. You can stick it right on the driver's side window. Don't put it on the back window, then the guy will be mad at you. But if you put it on the driver's side window, as you're walking into the store, boom, 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 get 5 cars, let them know our church is here. Let them know that life is never hopeless, that nothing's too hard for God. You don't know how many people might be on the verge of suicide. And this note could touch them and point them to the Lord, if not to our church, to a church, to Christ. So you can help out in that way. We'll probably have those in the back. There's some here as well. But let people know. Also, listen, that's not where this Great Commission stops. It also goes into your extended family. For those of you who still have parents alive or your brothers and sisters, it goes there. It goes there to reach them with the gospel. To help them, to encourage them. You don't have to preach constantly, but they should know what you believe and then live the life before them. You don't have to argue at every Thanksgiving dinner about the historicity of the Bible. Like, you don't have to get in a fight over that every Thanksgiving. You just say, Jesus changed me, He loves me. And then when they're going through a crisis, maybe they'll ask you to pray. Maybe there'll be an opening that God will use, but you need to live it out for them. Listen, in your immediate home, God's called you. If you're a parent, you need to be the pastor. If you're a man, let's say this. If you're a father, God has called you to be the pastor of your home. He has. He's called you to be the one who encourages your family in the way of God. To be the one who teaches your children at night. To read the Bible to them at night. He's called you to do that. He's called you to be the one to pray. Women, He's called you as well to share the gospel and live the gospel before your family. We could talk about reaching the world. If I reach the entire world and lose my own daughter, what have I accomplished? We need to reach out to our families as well. Those in your own home. If you, listen, the world is complicated today. You know this. No longer is there a time where everybody in the house has the same last name. Those days are gone. We have children who are half-children, stepchildren. What am I saying here? I'm saying whatever kids are in your home, listen, you need to love them like Christ would love them. I don't care if they have your last name or not. I don't care if you adopted them or if they're your blood kids or if they're half-kids or they're the neighbor's kids. You love on them like Jesus would love them. If you're the dad in the home, I don't care if you're the stepdad, half-dad, whatever you want to call yourself, you love on those people just like you would want a man to love on you. If you're a mother, you love them regardless of how the relationship works out. Be a mother to them. They so desperately need it. We don't put up barriers of whether or not somebody's a blood kid, half-kid. Who cares? Who cares at all? If you're there, you're a dad. We don't need a DNA test to say if you're a dad. That's bogus. If you're there, God's called you to be a dad, be a dad. If God's called you to be a mom, be a mom. If you're older in life and there's still kids around, be a grandparent to them. Be a grandpa, be a grandmom. Listen, there's kids in our church that don't have grandparents. And they need some of you older people to step up and just be their grandparents. Maybe don't yell at them so much for running around and maybe just talk to them and love on them. Right? Maybe love on them. Right? There's people in our church that come from single mother homes. If you're a man in the church, be, in a sense, I know we're limited, but in a sense, be like a father to them at the church. Love on them. If nothing else, hey buddy, how you doing? And give them five. Encourage them, right? We need to do that. The Great Commission doesn't just stop with the world. It goes all the way down to within our own homes and within our own church. Amen? Amen. Moving on. You need power to fulfill this Great Commission. That's where we're going right now, the last point here. I can receive power to complete my mission. Listen, we can receive power. We're going to go to Acts 19. And I want to have some prayer time, so we're going to fly through this. Acts 19, verse 1 through 7. It says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled throughout the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked. They replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, John's baptism was called for repentance of sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one coming, the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. They spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. We see here that they experienced John's baptism. They repented of their sins. Then they experience the baptism of Jesus, meaning as we baptized a few weeks ago. Because they were living in a time period before they knew Jesus died and rose again. So they repented of their sins and sought God. They didn't know of Jesus, or at least the full story of Jesus. They shared Jesus. They received Christ, were baptized, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Came back out. Then Paul continued to speak with them and laid hands on them and prayed. Then the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it says they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. Listen, they received Christ, but did they have all that they needed? Obviously not. Paul didn't think so. They needed more of the power of God to get through life. Look at this verse. Hey, Bob. Something clicked. Okay. Luke 24:49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this, just as my Father had promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Listen, the early disciples needed power. Power for what? Power to live righteously. They needed the power to serve Him faithfully. They needed the power to stand for Christ regardless of what the community said. Anybody need that today? The power to stand for Christ in an antagonistic world. They needed the power to break the chains of their spiritual apathy. Within their heart, where they grew tired and grew cold, they needed the power of the Holy Spirit to set them free so they would want to live above mediocrity. They want to live above walking the fence in Christianity and want to sail and live for Jesus. They needed the power of God for that. They needed the power to lift their legs from the miry clay and set themselves upon the rock strong and firm for Christ, regardless of who would say anything else. They needed the power to stop giving in to the temptations that are in this nasty world and start living a life of holiness set apart for service unto the Lord. Do you hear me today? They needed the power to raise their hands and surrender to the King in spite of the weights of sin and hopelessness and depression. They needed the power of God for that. They needed power to exalt Christ as their true King and their purpose in life. They needed power to discipline themselves. Listen, to get into the Word. They needed the power that every day they would spend time with Jesus and that there would be a hunger for them, for Him. They needed power to live their daily life. Their life was too hard to go on, and they needed the tangible and active presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I don't know about you. I don't know where you are. Maybe you're super, super good. But I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't know about you, but I'm not at that place yet where I have it all under control, and I don't need God anymore. I need the Lord. I need the Lord to give me power and strength to endure and move on. Without Christ, I couldn't live my life. Without the Holy Spirit, I don't have the power to be victorious in anything. I need help from the Lord. The Holy Spirit changed everything. Later on in this chapter, we see it says that solemn fear gripped the city in verse 17 when they received the Holy Spirit. There was a fear of God. Oh man, we're missing the fear of God in churches today, aren't we? There was a fear of God, a respect and a reverence for Him. What was another result of them being filled with the Spirit? The name of Jesus was greatly honored. Verse 17. Jesus was lifted up. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He lifts up Jesus. Verse 18 says, many people became believers. Many became believers. If you're praying for your family to come to know Christ, listen, we need to get real with God and we need to seek His Spirit. Don't we? Because if we're the same thing as them, we just have something to do on Sunday mornings. That's not a life they want to come to. because they just rather play golf or fish or do whatever they need to do. Hey, I have brakes on my car that need to be changed. I could have been doing that today, but I'm not because Jesus changed my life. And He's here. And I'll try and find time this afternoon, take my wheels off. But today, this is Jesus' time because He's changed my life. Has He changed your life? Sins were confessed in verse 18. Verse 19 speaks of believers repenting of their sins and burning all their witchcraft garbage. Ouija boards and all that stuff, setting them on fire. Because they said, we will not seek fortune tellers, we will seek God. Up to millions of dollars worth, verse 19 tells us. When the Lord convicts you and asks you to get rid of something, you need to get rid of it. Neat thing in this passage, they burned it. When God saves you and convicts you of your Metallica collection, don't give it to the kid down the street. Burn it. Get rid of it, right? Whatever God delivers you from, don't sell it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. But their lives were changed. Do you need the power from heaven? Do you need that today? Do you need the power to live for Him righteously? Do you? Do you need the power to serve Him faithfully, to stand for Christ no matter what? Do you need the power to break the chains of this mediocrity in your life? If you're here and your heart just kind of feels numb to this, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. He will make your life come alive like you've never known. If you're here, He wants to work in you. Too many of us are trying to do the mission without the power to complete the mission. God wants to give you the power. See, the difference is then this. When we receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within us. But we still have a long way to go. That doesn't mean we win the game in life. The Holy Spirit is within us and He's talking to us. And what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the next step, which is basically when we surrender everything to the Holy Spirit. It's basically when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, that we don't want just a little bit of Him. We want to open up our lives to Him. And we need His power. If that's you today, I want you to seek Him. I want you to do that. I have some books here that are available to you. If you want one, take it. We pray that God will bless you as you read more about Him. If you have one, we had these before. If you have one before, it's the same book. You can read through it if you haven't. They cost us like $5 a piece. You can chuck it in the offering if you want it next time around. If you don't have it, don't worry about it. Just take it. Read it. But before we do this, I'm going to ask you to come up for prayer. If you're here and God is speaking to you and you're tired of this normal rut life and this mission scares you, which it should scare you. And if you're here and you admit, if you just say, Pastor, I can't do this thing. I can't do this. The standards are too high. God doesn't want you to do it by Himself. He doesn't want you to try by yourself. He wants to fill you and give you the strength. And I'm going to ask you to do something that might be scary for you, but it's okay. Trust Him. If you're tired of the rut that you're in and you want to seek His power, I'm going to ask you to just come up. I want you to line up along the front like we normally do, and I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to ask God to fill you with the Spirit. What could happen? Listen. God could touch you and fill you with His Spirit today. What I would want you to do is come forward and begin to just pray and begin to just worship Jesus. Worship Jesus, that's it. Just worship Him. Say, Jesus, I need Your power. What could happen, and will happen eventually, it could be today, it might not be today. For me, to be honest with you, it was years of seeking the Holy Spirit before I received the Holy Spirit. Because I got kind of a weird story of being in churches where people put pressure on you to receive. I hate that stuff. And if you've been in a church where they would teach you a tongue twister to say you spoke in tongues, that's garbage too. Hate that stuff. But the Holy Spirit is real. And it's genuine. And when you seek Him, just seek Jesus. And when the time is right, when it gets to the place where perhaps we allow Him to have more control of ourselves and we're not anxious and all that, the Holy Spirit will just come upon you. And as you're praying, you'll just begin to just pray, praise God in a heavenly language which just isn't your own. And you just worship the Lord and don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's not a weird thing. Forget weird people. We're not weird. We just love Jesus. And we believe the Bible. And we just want the Holy Spirit to come upon us. While I was praying and the Holy Spirit came upon me, I was praying for another kid to receive the Holy Spirit. And I was the youth pastor who should have already been filled, but I wasn't. And I felt bad and stupid. It was a long story. But I'm praying for him and the Holy Spirit filled me. I don't know if that kid ever received or not, but I did. And I'm praying at an altar and I'm like, oh Lord, I'm in trouble now because I've never said, Lord, I've never received from you. I'm standing on the platform with like 6,000 kids and I'm supposed to pray for them. I need you, Lord, hello. And the Lord filled me and it was such a beautiful thing that I didn't even want to pray in English anymore. It's a beautiful thing. It's not weird. It's a beautiful thing. And we're not going to give you a microphone because that's just your language with the Lord. But you just pray. And I just sensed His Spirit. I was so close to the Lord. Today, for some of you, God, if you haven't been filled, for all of you, God wants to fill you. He does. I don't like pressure. We don't do pressure. For some of you, it might be today. It might be that you just seek Him and you begin to open the door in your heart to Jesus. You call out to Jesus. He's not going to give you a bogus gift. Trust Jesus. Okay? Can we do that today? Trust the Lord. If you've been in a church where they said it was demonic possession or whatever, we can talk about that actually. Not true, but we can talk about that later. The theological objections, we could take care of that. The author of this book does that. We have pamphlets in the back. I'm good with my theology, and we can take scripture, and that's fine. We can deal with that if that's the thing. But I don't want you to be afraid. Just worship Jesus. Can we do that today? If you're here and you want me to pray for you, I want to encourage you right now, just come forward and line up. We got pizza coming, and I'm hungry. But we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit. Bobby, if you could just put that CD on kind of low. We want to pray. You can pray in your seat. You can just come forward and line up. I want to pray with you. We're not going to put you on stand or anything. I just want you to come forward because I think it's important to take a step. To take a step and say, I want whatever the Lord has for me. If you've already received, I want to encourage you, pray in your prayer language in your seat. Begin to pray for those who need the Holy Spirit in their lives. Let's call out to Him. Let's worship Him. Let's worship Jesus today.